Here come the hot stepper, I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up the crew in the area. Still have it like that. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, Rico. I know what bow don't know. Touch them up and go.
Welcome to Under the Hoodies. This is Bill Kegel. I'm joined by Tony DiNicola. Tony, how you doing this fine Monday?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you its WWF Tag Team Champions of the World! I'm doing great, bud. How are you doing?
That is the absolute last wrestling reference we make on this show today.
Dude, I'm making a bunch tonight, man. You know what Sunday is, man. I'm pumped. It's Royal Rumble season. The road to WrestleMania is starting up.
I'm not going to whine about this wrestling talk because I did yammer on about movies quite a bit last week, so I'm letting this slide. This is what we call a pass. So go ahead, Tony. Get it out of your system.
A pass? You mean like the pass I made at your wife last week? Hashtag deadass dough.
That was very uncomfortable for her. I liked it.
Give credit where it's due, man. She looks good.
I know. If only I look like that after she had a kid. <It'd be nice>.
If only you could fit in a two-piece as well as she does.
I know. I need a two-piece. All right.
That's such a bad visual. I hope people don't look up your picture on Twitter.
I'm resisting the urge to make a nipple reference because I don't want to make it 3 out of 4 weeks. So I'm not going to say anything about my nipples. All right. So last week we have to discuss something. We have two things to discuss. Three things, yes. Actually. So I referenced my nipples. You talked about eating human beings. But worst of all.
Forgot about that one.
You could hear my furnace at the beginning of the show because I tried to do the show from the unfinished Under the Hoodie studio. We are back to my kitchen table right now. We're in dining room studios right now.
Hey, it's not all on you. I'll take some blame too. You could hear in the background the
lady.
Little Bill Burr shout out there, but you could hear the lady in the background moving around some dishes. So, still got the renovations going on at the house. They have the windows up in the apartment, so hopefully I'll be living back there by 2019, I'm thinking. Not in the living room on a pullout couch.
Oh, nice. So that's a plus. So yeah. Speaking of renovations, so I reference Under the Hoodie Studio. We are in the process of finishing our attic, which I'm very excited about. It's going to look good. It's going to be a den, office, studio. And it's about, let's say 22 by 10 and about 19 by 10. So it's going to be pretty good size, pretty good size area up there. I'm pretty excited about 400 plus extra square feet. So we're going to soundproof it with some tar paper, which I didn't even know was a thing. But you learn a lot when you are married to someone that has a very smart, very masculine father, like my wife does. Unfortunately for me, my daughter is not going to have that same thing. The Iraq War, even still... Still not going to have a masculine father. So hopefully she marries one like I did. So, yeah.
You married a masculine father? Poor Ashley.
I married into one, I should have said. Yeah, I gotcha. Honestly, I'm curious if he listens to the show. We'll find out. But so if he does listen, big shout out to that guy because we got a lot of work done up there. It's coming together. So I'm very excited That aside, let's talk about some football, Tony.
What's up?
So, these games sucked. These were both blowouts. Blowouts of the highest order.
This whole tournament has sucked. I mean, besides Green Bay and Dallas, we have not had a good, close, competitive game. I mean, it's great for the fans of the team that are winning, like New England and like Atlanta. But for the casual viewer like us, man, I'm thank God for Twitter to keep me entertained, because I've been bored to tears.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of the Cowboys-Green Bay game, I mean, this is all obvious stuff here, but the games have all sucked. I just don't know what else to say. They've all just sucked. We've been trying our ass off to talk about these games and try to make them as interesting as possible, but honestly, this might be the worst run of play. You know what these playoff games remind me of? The beginning of the season. Remember how terrible the beginning of the year was? It was just terrible games, yeah. Terrible quarterback play. Like, the Bills had a shot in the AFC. And that was our weekly Bill shot of the week. And
I'll throw in more later. I'm sure I got a couple brewing somewhere in the deep recesses of my dark-sided mind.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, first game we're going to talk about, let's talk about Atlanta-Green Bay. So Atlanta-Green Bay.
Ooh, ouch.
So
sorry, Packer fans.
Revisionist history says we should have saw the Atlanta thing coming for a lot of different reasons. Maybe you and I not on the show, but as we were talking on Friday and Saturday, we learned that the Packers were ravaged with the flu. Their flight was delayed because of weather. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had the flu. They had a lot of guys playing very hurt, like Jordy Nelson with the cracked ribs gave it a go. Devontae Freeman. Yeah. Devontae Adams played with a really bad ankle. I mean, these are injuries that would have kept these guys out in reference to Nelson and Adams if it was a regular game. But since it was the NFC Championship game, they played. So that being said, big shout out to Aaron Rodgers, man. That guy played a hell of a game considering what he was using, and his one of his best offensive linemen went down, you know, in the third quarter. So I don't know, man. Still, big shout out to Aaron Rodgers. Everything he did in the playoffs, it should not be minimized by what happened on Sunday, because that guy played his ass off. So, you know, he's still the best player in the league, still the best quarterback I've ever seen. Brady's gonna run away with the best quarterback of all time title. But I'm from what my eyeballs see, the best quarterback I've ever seen play the position is Aaron Rodgers, and that has not changed after that Atlanta game. That is the only good thing we're going to say about the Packers, by the way. Go ahead.
I think it's almost to a detriment with how good he is for that team, because it feels like they just don't separate him with more weapons. They got to get him a running game, man. I mean, we talked about it all playoffs. They're so one-dimensional, and it's worked so far for them. You know, it worked great against Dallas, but you ran into Atlanta, which just has too many weapons. And they played right into Atlanta's game plan. They let Atlanta get up big early. Atlanta could just rush Rodgers, just put pressure on him, and they just ran away with it with those weapons, man.
Yeah, 100%. And really,
Matt Ryan looked amazing. I mean, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns. The guy was on fire. And then Julio Jones. I mean, I'm sorry, Packers. You got to fix your secondary, man. I mean, yeah, I can't talk too much crap because the Dallas one isn't much better. But I mean, Julio went off for 9, 180, 2 touchdowns. And he looked like a man amongst boys. I mean, he was just punishing those DBs.
And he had a great game. Even if you take away the 73-yard gain, he still had a great game. So I have a stat.
It's still 107 yards, I think.
Yeah.
And 8 catches.
Exactly.
Like, ridiculous.
Exactly.
I mean, that long touchdown run, I mean, what did he catch at, like, the 40-yard line and then just stiffed-armed that Green Bay DB and just took it to the house the rest of the way?
Yeah. I have a stat for you. So Atlanta, their bread and butter is the 16 plus yard deep right throw. They're the best in the league at that. And if you watch where a lot of what they did on offense, a lot of where their damage come was in that area, that deep right throw, for whatever reason. Guess who the worst team in the league was? At covering that exact play? It's the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers, yeah. It's that nuts, secondary, right? Has just been depleted.
Absolutely depleted. I mean, they were playing Gunther as their number one corner. I mean, it's a mid-round rookie. Why is that guy? Well, I know why. Obviously, injuries. But it's just, you know, it's again, this is going to be an Aaron Rodgers love fest segment almost. But,
well, I'm looking at the numbers right now for the Atlanta receiving corps. I mean, you 7 wide receivers had passes or long passes of at least 15 yards. At least minimum seven passes of 15 yards or more. I mean, they killed them with a deep ball. It's exactly what you need to do. They attacked that secondary. They pinpointed a weakness, and they took advantage of it.
No, they sure did. Yeah.
They're so stocked with weapons. I mean, I talked about it last week. I almost talked myself into picking the Falcons. I should have gone with my gut, because it's just – yeah, Rodgers is great, but one man can't do it against just that many different weapons.
No, it's very true. And, you know, the interception by Ricardo Allen was actually just a really good play by him. Kind of a weird throw by Rodgers, just not characteristic for him. But, I mean, it's not like his guys
kind of chucked it up there. He pulled an Eli in a way.
It was sort of like a punt. You know, that's what it sort of looked like to me. But, you know, I mean, even with that throw, I mean, he's still pretty good. I mean, they were getting pressure on him a lot. I mean, he got hit quite a bit. He got sacked only twice, but, you know, that's him moving. And I've never seen a guy, and of all people, Bill Burr pointed this out, and he brought up a great point, which is, like, he'll move around so his linemen get more square to the guys they're blocking. That's something I never really noticed until Burr pointed it out, and it really does. That's exactly what he does, which is impressive. But what else do you have to say about Green Bay?
Well, to your point, too, with the linemen, I mean, they broke down the film and they showed it partly in the Dallas game and in the Atlanta game, how they'll let the DN, the left tackle, let him into the inside so he can basically pin him to the inside, and then Rodgers can roll out to the left or to the right, and we know how dangerous he is outside of the pocket throwing the ball. Like, they just used their scheme perfectly.
Right, they absolutely did. And and the other thing that Green Bay didn't do was get pressure on Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt Ryan just was surgical, just picked them apart.
Oh,
it helps, obviously, having Julio Jones rip off a 73-yard run. But you take that away, Matt Ryan still throws for 300-plus yards, still throws for 3 touchdowns, and he's still, you know, 26 for 37. I mean, that's if you take that play away. I mean, obviously, 27 for 38, 392, 4 touchdowns. I mean,
Well, in just the first quarter alone, I mean, you talk about how surgical he was. I believe he completed to 6 different receivers in the first quarter alone. So he's just gunning it all over the yard, spreading it out. I mean, you can't stop that many people.
You absolutely can't. And I do wonder. Okay, so I do wonder if Atlanta, are they the best offense you've seen in your lifetime? Maybe you know, since the greatest show on turf. Can you think of an offense that was this good, so many different weapons, they can beat you in so many ways? 2 running backs that catch the ball out of the backfield, by the way. Both of them. I mean, they were talking during the broadcast that I forget who said it, but somebody on Atlanta said that Tevin Coleman could essentially be their starting slot receiver. That's how good of a pass catcher he is.
Yeah, I'm trying to I think back, like you said, to the show on turf, that 98 Vikings team with Culpepper, Randy Moss, and I believe their running back was Robert Smith. And I believe they still had Chris Carter at the time, too. So they were pretty loaded with weapons and a high-scoring team. But, I mean, this offense has got to be at least top 5, maybe top 3. It's disgusting just how many weapons they have. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So, I mean, the only other offense I could think of is maybe the 07 Patriots. I mean, Randy Moss was just a man possessed. You think about the 2000, I believe it's the 2013 Denver Broncos team, that team that Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns with that season with Demaryius Thomas. I think, and Julius Thomas was really good that year. I'm thinking that team too. But I mean, Atlanta, just the volume that Matt Ryan puts up. And the way he spreads the ball around to everybody, even when Julio was out this year, I mean, they were still moving the ball really well. I mean, he was hurt for a good chunk of the year, and they were still
3 or 4 games, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's just a testament to that. I mean, Matt Ryan, I mean, he came out of the draft, he looked really good, and then he kind of just was mediocre for a few seasons, but this guy's just on top of his game this year. I just think him and Shanahan as the O coordinator, just the perfect pairing. Their scheme is so good, and Ryan's reading the field so well. It's like you said, he's just surgical about it.
Yeah, no, it was impressive. Everything that he did was impressive. So, all right, let's put a poll on this game. Just as a heads up to everybody, we're not talking about the Super Bowl this week. We're going to do our Super Bowl stuff next week. We're going to do an entire show dedicated to it. But yeah, so we're going to talk about right now. We're going to go to the New England Pittsburgh game. And by the way, if anybody can hear this noise in the background, it's my dryer. So hopefully we can take this out. And Tony, if you can actually get this out, then
I'll do my best. I'm too distracted by the lady coming to the kitchen and pantomiming clapping noises like some kind of weird pretty mime. So no, I'll fix that. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God, it's just, it will not stop. Now I'm almost distracted. All right, you know what, Bill? Let's get it together. You're looking like Eli in a regular season game here. So all right, Green Bay, New England. That was what I thought was going to be the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, New England. Speaking of surgery, Tom Brady. I said last week that he's not looked good against the last two good defenses he's played. They haven't played good quarterbacks all last year. Although Bill did predict them to win, Bill was wrong, because Tom Brady literally looked the that might be the best game I've seen him play in the playoffs.
He was ridiculous.
I mean, is that absolutely ridiculous? He threw one bad pass that entire game, and it was a little bit behind, I believe, Ellerman or Hogan coming across coming across the middle, just wide open, and he just sort of threw it behind him. So, I mean, he is a human being. He does make mistakes, but very rarely do you see him miss throws like that. So, the other play of the game I wanted to ask you about, LeGarrette Blount carrying the entire Pittsburgh Steelers defense for about 3-4 yards there was amazing.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
He had five guys on him. What did he take him? Yeah, like you said, extra 5 yards? I mean, talk about a man amongst boys. Dear God, he is a beast. That's weight room strength right there, man. That's ass to grass when you're doing squats. That guy is a beast.
Absolutely. And you know what I realized about LeGarrette Blount? He's not as tall as I thought. I think he's only like 6'1". I thought he was like 6'4". I thought this dude was built like Brandon Jacobs. Now he weighs 240, but he's only 6'1". He's pretty big, obviously, but not as big as I thought. So
some people just carry themselves well. You know, they just look bigger than they actually are. I mean, he would be one of those guys.
So another thing I was wrong about last week is I said that this game is going to come down to two players, Le'Veon Bell and Deion Lewis. They could not have done less. Either of them. Yeah. So
this game came down to the excellence of Tom Brady, Sir Thomas. My God, was he good.
I think this more came down to the excellence of Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman, but more specifically Chris Hogan. Let's talk about Chris Hogan for a minute. So the Buffalo.
Yeah, let's talk about him and how the Bills missed on that one.
I don't know if they necessarily missed, because I can't. I can't really picture them. Him having the same success with I can't picture him having the same success with the Bills that he had with the Patriots, obviously because it's Tyrod Taylor throwing to him as opposed to Tom Brady.
Yes. Agree with that 100%.
Small difference there in an arm talent. But
yes. And vision and reading a defense.
And throwing the ball accurately and throwing the ball down the field and throwing the ball to opening guys. Yeah, so
throwing people open, yeah.
But Chris Hogan was sorely missed on the Bills this year, because when Walter Powell and Justin Hunter were trotted out as their number one and number two receivers against the Patriots, it was that Chris Hogan that torched the Bills. It was Stephon Gilmore, who got named to the Pro Bowl today, getting torched by that Chris Hogan. So to all the Bills fans that said, oh, good riddance, not a big deal. It's kind of a big deal, because he did beat you guys, and now he's playing for a team that is probably going to win a Super Bowl, largely due to him being on the field and adding another dimension for Brady. So I don't know what it is about the Patriots and getting these white skill position guys. And obviously race doesn't really necessarily have anything to do with it, until you look at the Patriots roster and they have white skill position guys all over the field. I mean, they found Danny Woodhead. I love all the mock drafts, by the way. I just want to point this out. All the mock drafts have Christian McCaffrey going to the Patriots with the last pick. It's just
that seems so perfect.
It's
in a way.
So on the nose. It's so on the nose. Yeah. It's so funny.
It's great what the Patriots do. I mean, they it's like you take like a C+ student in school and you just put them through weeks and weeks of like SAT prep, and you raise this kid up to like an A-. Like, they take these cast-offs from other teams, these average players, and they just get the most out of them. They squeeze every ounce of juice out of the orange. It's amazing.
Did you see Jamie Collins, by the way, got paid?
By Cleveland.
26 mil guaranteed. Makes him the, the fourth highest paid linebacker behind Von Miller, Justin Houston, and Clay Matthews.
Take the money and run, I guess, man. Straight up cash, homie.
Yeah,
but
4 years,
good luck with,
50 million.
Good luck with winning games in Cleveland, unfortunately. But yeah, back to Chris Hogan, man. I mean, I agree with you 100%. There's no way the Bills could have got this much out of him. But where it irks me is the Bills let him walk to a division rival. You know, if you let him go to New England, he's going to come back and just torch your ass. And That's what bugs me. I mean, you know, New England's got him on their radar. You have to keep that guy, especially when you were thin at wide receiver anyways.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm looking up to now to see what the deal was. Oh, I accidentally typed in Chris Hoven by mistake. Remember that guy? He used to paint his face. Played for the Vikings and the Bucks. I forgot that guy was a player.
that's a throwback.
Yeah, it was. I hit the V instead of the G with these pork loin fingers. So,
yeah.
All right.
But, dude, I just want to talk more about how awesome Hogan was in that game. 9 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he owned that game. And then Edelman went off himself, 8 for 118 in a touchdown. That was the most combined yardage, 298, by a wide receiver duo in conference championship history. I mean, these are two white dudes, too, just going off. I mean, it was awesome to watch. God, man, you can't say enough about Brady and how good he is. 32 of 42, 384 yards, which is his career and franchise high in the playoffs, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, I called it last week. I called this game. I said 31-17, the Patriots would win this game handily. And the final score was 36-17. I was off by 5 points. And I said it last week, man. How often do you ever see Brady have bad back-to-back games? It almost never happens. The worst thing that could have happened at Pittsburgh was that New England struggled last week against Houston. That lit a fire under Brady. It lit a fire under Belichick. And they just came out and they proved themselves. They proved to be the better team against the Steelers.
Yeah, 100% they did. Man, Roethlisberger doesn't look good in it feels like almost a year and a half. I mean, really, remember he came back really early from that knee injury or the ankle injury last year? To me, he hasn't really looked good since then. And I'm curious what is going on with that guy. I wonder if he's just physically done. He's got a lot of injuries, man. I mean,
I don't know if he's physically done. I just don't think he's healthy. Because remember early in the year, he had that, wasn't it like a minor knee surgery?
Yeah.
And initially they said he might be out as much as 6 weeks. And he came back, in 2? Like, I think he rushed himself back. He just never got healthy.
Yeah, it was I want to say it was a meniscus surgery, and that's like a 4 to 6 week injury, and he missed a week. And he missed the Patriots week of all things, which I wonder if that would have played a factor into the game.
Yeah, credit to him. I mean, the guy's a gamer, but sometimes you just – and I know, too, they were in a race with the Ravens, so he kind of had to come back. I mean, honestly, but it ended up hurting them long term, but in the short term, they had to do it.
Did you hear how many touchdowns to interceptions Brady's thrown against Mike Tomlin-led Steeler teams? Now,
yeah, isn't it like 19-0 or something crazy like that?
It's now 22-0.
Oh my god,
yeah,
just total domination. I mean, we said Tom Brady is the Patriots daddy. Well, you can, it looks like he's adopted the Pittsburgh Steelers as well,
yeah. So, by the way, Chris Hogan signed the Patriots offered Chris Hogan a 3-year offer sheet for $12 million, $7.5 million guaranteed. The Bills decided not to match it. Bill Belichick saw major potential, describing Hogan as a quote-unquote burner with an incredible athleticism. Hogan went from averaging about 12 yards a catch to almost 18 yards a catch in New England. So they used him as a deep threat. They used him accordingly. And, you know,
and that kills me, too, because what's the one thing that Tyrod Taylor does well in Buffalo?
Throws deep balls.
And who catches good deep balls?
Chris Hogan.
Frustrated. And $12 million? You could have done that deal. Come on, man.
Yeah, considering what they're paying Marcel Darius, yeah, they could have. They could have figured it out. I mean, but anyway, this isn't the Bills. If you want to listen to talk about the Bills, some podcast did a Bills eulogy episode like about a month ago. Go listen to that.
Episode number 25, if you're looking.
That is the greatest episode of podcast I've ever heard by those guys. I don't know who they are, but I can tell you they're both creative and, you know, fantastic looking guys. Fantastic looking guys.
I'm pretty sure I can't show my face in Buffalo ever again.
Yeah, neither can the guys who did the Bills eulogy. So, that being said, well, you know what? How about put a bow on this game? Anything else you want to say about this?
The game itself, I mean, no, it was kind of a stinker. We could talk a little bit about just the Patriots' just utter dominance and how good they've been. I mean,
isn't ESPN good for that? I mean, if you want, go watch a Monday Night Football game with the Patriots, and you can hear John Gruden slobber.
It can't be understated, though. I mean, this this franchise, ever since Kraft took over and ever since they got Brady and Belichick together in 2001, they've been ridiculous. I mean, most playoff wins in history now, Belichick 25, Landry 20. Most Super Bowl appearances, Belichick beat Shula 7-6. Most Super Bowl wins, Belichick is tied 4-4 with Chuck Knoll. And, I mean, you know, we're not going to get too much into predictions, but I feel like he's got a good chance to be the all-time winningest Super Bowl coach after, you know, in a couple weeks. But, dude, since it's just ridiculous, they're utter dominance. Since 2001, 13 of the last 15 AFC Super Bowl quarterbacks have been either Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger. Brady 6 times, Manning 4, Roethlisberger 3. Dude, I mean, you could say I'm kissing their ass or I'm just bowing before their throne, but they deserve it. It's ridiculous how good they've been.
7 times, by the way. The smart seven times.
Thank you.
No, I don't think it'd be understated enough. I'm just saying, if you want to go, you know, ESPN's probably doing 1,000 pieces like that. And can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine the amount of drool ESPN is going to have to wipe off their chin if the Patriots win? It's just going to be. I don't know if there's enough. I don't know if there's enough towels in Connecticut for it.
But they deserve. And I'm so sick of these fans saying, "Oh, they're cheaters." I mean, let's be honest. What team in the NFL doesn't cheat? Doesn't try to find some way
to get none of them. None of them. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Because Atlanta didn't get busted years ago for pumping in crowd noise, cuz Seattle hasn't gotten busted for it before. I mean, you're not trying at an elite level if you're not just trying to find some way to get ahead, some way to bend the rules.
Seattle, I think, has the most Adderall-related suspensions. I'm throwing hard Adderall quotes up there, a.k.a. PEDs, in the league. You know, everybody is. And it's not a big deal if everybody's doing it. And I love the Spygate thing. The Spygate thing is ridiculous because before that, they did it once and got busted immediately for it. And that's only because Eric Mangini is like that kid with the notepad from the show Recess. I mean, he just snitched on him. I mean, that's all it was. Yeah. And every team did it up until that season. Like, it just became illegal and the Patriots kept doing it. Deflategate, that isn't even worth mentioning.
God, don't get me started on that stupid.
That's the stupidest controversy of my lifetime. It literally makes no sense, and I am still unclear on what Brady was suspended for. They were like, oh, he obstructed justice.
Wasn't this just the 2-year anniversary, too, of that game against the Colts in the AFC Championship where Deflategate all started? So we've been dealing with this for, like, 2 years.
I think Ryan Grigson got fired on the anniversary of that game, by the way.
We'll get into him because if there was ever a guy that deserved to get fired, it was that guy.
You know what's funny? Colin Cowherd said that a high-ranking NFL executive told him that not only were people shocked that he even got an interview, but they were all just floored that he even got hired by the Colts. You know, it just – that's how terrible of a quote-unquote GM prospect he was, is the fact that he even got interviews was just dumbfounding to a lot of NFL executives. I mean, and look what he's done with that team. I mean, you have a generational quarterback, and you've done nothing but make his team worse progressively.
No defense, no protection. You got a gem. You have a franchise quarterback. Dude, the Browns, the Bills, they would kill for Andrew Luck. The Texans. How do you not build around him?
The Texans are in the Super Bowl if they have Andrew Luck.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
The Texans are the best case scenario for a team without a quarterback. That's as far as you can go without a quarterback. Is where the Texans got this year. If the Texans had even Alex Smith, I really think they win that game against the Patriots, or it's a lot damn closer than it was. But, I mean, the Texans, top to bottom, everything but quarterback, they're great. They have a great offensive line. They have a really good running back. They have a transcendent talent at wide receiver. They have good complementary receivers. The D-line, even without J.J. Watt, incredible. Whitney Mercilus is a fantastic linebacker. Brian Cushing, a fantastic linebacker. Great secondary players. I mean, great head coach. They have everything you want except for a quarterback.
Except for the most important piece in the National Football League.
And if you want to take the opposite of that, that's the Colts. The Colts have everything but that. They have good skill position guys. Frank Gore is an ageless wonder. They have good wide receivers. But that's it. They're nothing after that. Nothing.
How ironic is it, too, that they're in the same division in the South, which is just a dumpster fire?
Well, it won't be because my man Tom Coughlin is now the head of the Jaguars. He's essentially running the entire show. Very ironic about the Jaguars.
I like that move, too.
Yes, I love that move. David Caldwell is from Lackawanna, New York. Your former boss, my current boss, played baseball with him. They know each other pretty well. His Dave Caldwell, the GM of the Jaguars, sister actually cuts our boss's hair. Now, if you've seen our boss's haircut,
you could land a F-15 on that sucker.
You can. It's pretty flat up there. So, I mean, AFC South, I do wonder if that's going to become every week I like to have a stroke mid-show, so I apologize. But I do wonder if the AFC South is going to become the new NFC East, because I think there's a lot of good young and up-and-coming teams in there. I think once the Colts get a human being, doesn't necessarily have to be breathing, but do a better job than Ryan Grigson. I think once they get that in there, I think they're going to be back. I think the Titans are doing really interesting things. I really like the way that team's constructed. And
I got an out-of-box idea for the Colts, by the way. Remember that supercomputer that was on Jeopardy, Watson? Why don't they just hire him as the GM?
I wonder if they could get Watson. How much would Watson cost?
I wonder if that's even legal. Because we're getting to that point eventually where computers are just going to start taking over our daily lives. So, I mean, why not? If you think about it, it would make the best and most analytical decision. So, especially compared to Grigson, I mean, it couldn't be much worse.
That computer definitely would not have drafted Bjorn Warner.
He had one good draft pick, and that was Andrew Luck. And that's a no-brainer. You or I could have drafted Andrew Luck.
My daughter could have drafted Andrew Luck. She's 19 months old.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. All she has to do is point at his picture. Yeah, simple. Easy.
Oh, I'll take the 6'4" guy that can throw the ball through a freaking door. Yeah. That's absolutely absurd.
And who went to Stanford and is highly intelligent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that guy.
Minus
the creepy beard, but I'll take him.
And the voice of Andre the Giant.
A lot of wrestling references this week. I love it.
I just think that we should not make as many wrestling references on Under the Hoodies that we have. I don't know how good that's going to sound on the podcast, but hopefully it sounded somewhat decent. That sounded more like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs than it did Andrew Luck. Yeah.
Put the lotion in the basket.
If my daughter wasn't sleeping right now, I would scream that line from that, because that's the funniest character in movie history, by the way, is Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill is an absolute riot. That guy is so funny. Give me back my dog. He was so mad. My favorite part of that entire movie is when the chick in the hole is screaming and just get me out of here. And then he just looks down the hole and he's just like, "Aw," back at her.
See, every time I hear the impression, I don't even think of that. I think of Joe Dirt when they basically mock it and he's in the hole.
Oh, yeah. Auto Trader, all right.
I got a 76 Corvette, yeah.
All right, so just to remind everybody, you are listening to Under the Hoodies. That's Tony DeNicola. I am Bill Kegel. Find us on Twitter at TonyQs44, at Bill Kegel. Bill K. Eagle, if you want to know how to look it up phonetically, and the show page at Under the Hoodies, and we have a Facebook page. Also, go on there and look at stuff, and don't look at my pictures on my actual Facebook page, because you're going to be sadly disappointed with the way everybody else looks in my pictures, because my looks, it just deflates everybody. It's like popping a bunch of balloons. It's, you know, it's not good. So, anyway, if you want to get an actually accurate representation, my buddy John one time called me Fat Damon, which is still one of the pretty much how I look.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I get Fat Damon, and I get Scotty J from Boogie Nights.
When we go to the SU game together this Saturday, I might just scream that across the aisle. Hey! Hey! Fat Damon! Fat Damon, over here! Get the nachos!
Yeah.
Yeah, extra jalapeno!
Then we get into, instead of Jason Bourne, it's Jason Stillbourne. There's a lot of those.
Oh, Jesus!
I know. People are rude, dude.
Savage, man. Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
All right, that is the end of the wrestling references.
We are
going to talk about movies, and you wanted to...
Before we get to that, though, real quick, the Colts firing their GM.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, buddy.
No, it's all right. I love how the players came out on Twitter and just roasted the guy. Pat McAfee, the punter, quote unquote, thank God. Gerald Freeman. Well, that took longer than expected. And then this one, quote, oh, hang on 1 second. Quote, they fired Ryan Grissom. Damn, I don't know why Irsay hired him in the first place. He wouldn't even know how to operate a lineup for a baseball team. Winston Guy Jr., who was cut from the team in September. Like, that just goes to show you, man, nobody liked the guy. Nobody respected him. They just roasted him after this. They were so happy to see him gone.
Yeah, that is, I'm Pat McAfee is, he's a punter, but I love that dude. He's got some good stuff. So, what's up
him with him and, Marquette King from Oakland. I just love how these punters are just coming out with, like, all this, just this hilarity online and just this, you know, I'm going to sound goofy being a white guy, but all this swag, like, it's so much fun to watch these two and listen to them.
Well, Steve Weatherford is borderline a professional bodybuilder now, and he was a punter for the NFL for 10 years. I don't understand this. He was the strongest dude on the Giants. Like, he had to be.
I'll give a shout-out to my Syracuse University Orangemen. If you're looking for a punter in your fantasy football league in the coming years, Denver Broncos signed Syracuse University alum Riley Dixon, drafted him last year. That guy, if you just go look on YouTube, if you want to see clips of a punter running a fake or throwing a pass on a fake punt, I mean, that guy just has it down pat, especially against the LSU game where he hurdled an LSU defender, got the first down, got up, was so pumped up, threw a right hook into the helm of the LSU player, and somehow didn't get flagged for it.
Super aggressive by him. All right.
I love Dixon. Dixon, Riley Dixon for Heisman.
So I'm going to set this up. I'm going to just set it on a tee for you, and you go ahead and explain this, because I haven't heard this yet. So you watched The Jungle Book, the live-action version of The Jungle Book.
Oh, we're going there.
What revelation did you have during this movie?
All right, this is I got to apologize. This is going to get very dark-sided. But I was watching The Jungle Book with the fiancé in the mill. We actually tried to watch Your True Romance, the movie you gave me on Netflix. And, of course, they pulled it off like 2 days before. So we're searching through like, oh, watch The Jungle Book. I've been wanting to see this. You know, the remake, the live-action remake. Great movie, by the way. It's so cool how they did the CGI with the animals. I liked it. It was a much darker tale. It's not really for kids. I want to say it's like PG-13 because there's some graphic and dark scenes. But it got to the part where, you know, where the giant snake is in the tree and trying to hypnotize Mowgli?
I'm not familiar. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I saw it's on Netflix, and I do plan on getting to it at a certain point. So, yeah, go ahead.
It's in the cartoon, too, though. But the snake comes down and starts slithering and, you know, using its seductive ways and voice to hypnotize Mowgli so that it can, you know, wrap itself around him and crush him and eat him. Oh, God, this is rough. I paused the movie, and I told the fiance in the mail, I was like, listen, full disclosure, I never told anyone in my life about this, but I have a revelation for you. When I was younger, I mean, when I first saw the original cartoon version, I was maybe like 9 or 10, maybe 11. And when the snake would come down and hypnotize Mowgli, it was the first time in my life that I started to get a tingling in my man region, if you will. I didn't know what it was at the time, never felt it before, but when I was a little kid, you know, pre-pubescent Tony, whenever I would watch that movie and see that scene with the snake hypnotizing young little Mowgli, I would get little jingles and tingles in my man parts. I don't know what it means. It's pretty messed up, but, you know, that's the life I live, I guess.
This is one of those times where silence is probably the best.
I need therapy, man. I really do.
Yeah. So
this is what happens when your parents both, you know, partake.
We don't need to get into this. This is not that show.
We should talk about how my parents met and just the booze and drug-filled fest that went on during my conception.
That's all right. This isn't that show, dude. Like, I'm completely uncomfortable, and this makes the segue into what I was going
to... You're uncomfortable? I just admitted that to, you know, however many people listen to this. Dear God. I can't wait till the guys at work hear that one.
I can wait. Okay, so...
Hashtag the more you know.
Oh, I wish I had that sound effect right now. So, I was going to talk about a sports-related movie that you should watch. And
yes,
first thing, actually, we are going to talk about a sports related movie. We're going to talk about the XFL 30 for 30 on the episode. Either we're going to do it on the Super Bowl episode or the episode after, depending on how the Super Bowl goes. If the Super Bowl's boring, we're going to do it on that episode. If the Super Bowl is great, we're going to do it. We're going to do it in its own episode. So,
well, it also depends on if we both have to watch it to be able to talk about it too. But I'm beyond excited for that documentary. ESPN never ever misses with their 30 for 30, and I think this will be just another home run by them.
That this is the one I'm probably most excited about seeing, but I look forward to it. So anyway, the movie I wanted to talk about was a documentary about called Gleason. It's about Steve Gleason. You remember the game after Hurricane Katrina, the first game the Saints played in the Superdome against Atlanta. Yep. He's the guy.
Open it back up.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that blocked the punt that Curtis DeLoach picked up for a touchdown, and the place went crazy. There's a statue in front of the stadium for this moment. So Steve Gleason, at 34 years old, was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and not 6 weeks later, he finds out his wife is pregnant. So he's going through this diagnosis. His wife is pregnant, and this is such a raw movie, and I don't really want to talk too much about it because I really want you to see it, but I would just I would highly recommend this to any sports fan, anybody that's ever had to deal with somebody with any kind of disease like this. I mean, there isn't a worse disease out on the planet right now. So your body loses its capacity to communicate with the brain, muscles, nerves, all that stuff, but you can still feel everything. It's just a horrifying disease. My wife's aunt had ALS, and it's one of the worst things ever. So
yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of reading up on it, but basically from what I understand, it's like you're entombed in your own body. You're almost like trapped inside your own body, like a prisoner.
Yeah, perfectly stated. So this guy, okay, this explores religion, not in a way where it's, you know, where, you know, guys like you and I, we're not religious. You know,
no.
No big deal. We don't need to talk about that. But this explores
each their own, you right? Know, whatever you want to
do. Yeah, exactly. As long as you're happy and you don't molest kids and kill people, I don't care what you do. So it hits on religion, but in a way you wouldn't expect. This hits on family, how it affects everybody around him. His wife might be one of the most incredible human beings that's ever walked the planet, and she has her moments in this where you're like, wow, maybe not a good person, but I'm telling you, I think after years of dealing with what she dealt with, the moment that I'm talking about, she kind of earned it. And I actually think in the moment he acknowledges she earned it. She is an absolute saint. Like, I cannot tell you. She even talks about this herself, that she doesn't feel this way. But I mean, this woman is absolutely amazing. I cannot even imagine the situation she's going through, raising a toddler alone and essentially being Steve Gleason's caretaker, 24/7 in-home live-in nurse. She brings in a friend of hers from the past. He's really cool. He's kind of a shot of life to what becomes a sort of a sad documentary. But Steve Gleason of himself is really inspirational. I mean, he has his moments too where he's like, he's beaten down by it, and he's just like, just ran through the I can't even imagine what he's going through. But there's actual real human moments in here. And again, big shout out to the Gleasons, because they allowed so much that they really didn't. This could have been a fluff piece, but it's fluff piece, and it is absolutely not. It is raw, it is real, and it's a documentary that, there's a lot of documentaries that fall in love with their access. This didn't do that in the sense that it did. It had 1,300 hours, I guess, of footage over the course of 5 years, but it didn't fall in love with the access. Instead of what they did is they took it and they told a story, and it starts really sad. Get sad. And then it's like uplifting at the same time. I mean, Steve Gleason's dad, you'll have your opinions on him. His wife, you'll have your opinions on her. But man, everything in this documentary is just fantastic. Like, I'm not a crier, and I will tell you that literally I was not necessarily a heap, but I haven't been emotionally affected by a movie like this, and don't laugh, since Inside Out. Inside Out hit me a little hard because I had just had a baby, and
I've seen it. That was a good movie.
It's a great movie. It's very creative, but man, I'm telling you, when you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a character that he goes away, and it's a little tough for Bill to take. But man, maybe Avery started making me a crier. I have no idea. But anyway, dude, you have to watch this movie.
I'm excited for it. I've wanted to see it.
It's on Amazon Prime, which I'm pretty sure you said you have. It's on Amazon Prime. Watch it with the Mill. Watch it with the fiance. I guarantee they'll both like it. All three of you will get something different out of it. But what a story and what a documentary. And man, good on them for allowing a lot of what's in there because I don't know. And the scary thing is that Steve Gleason is only a couple years older than you and I, a year older than I when he was diagnosed. So yeah. It's pretty scary.
And he was also, I mean, he played in the NFL. He's the top 1% of athletes in the world. And to have that just stripped away from him, you know, with no power over it and just watch him deteriorate. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Extremely heartbreaking. But man, I'm telling you, I didn't come away from this heartbroken. I come away from this just sort of like inspired. And I'm kind of like, hey, you know what? Everybody has drama going on in their life, but I'm telling you, nobody is going through what these people are. Nobody that we know, anyway. I mean, it's something that puts life into perspective for you, and it should. And just the work that Gleason does in the movie, you know, and a lot of this is told, by the way, he does these video journals for his unborn son, which is, again, really kind of a creative way to tell this narrative. And it's... I don't know. I would highly recommend it to you. I'd highly recommend it to everybody that you know, any sports fan, and anybody that's ever gone through something like this. It's just absolutely a fantastic documentary, and I cannot recommend it enough. It's one of the very few movies I would ever give a 5 stars to. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I look forward to watching. I mean, and you know, personally, you and I have dealt with people in our lives with mental and physical disabilities. I mean, my great aunt, her son was basically born and confined to his wheelchair and couldn't really speak his entire life. And I had to watch her, you know, change him, feed him, basically do everything for him up until he passed away in his mid-30s. And I think it's great because it just, you know, raises awareness for people. Like, you can actually see what these people go through and how tough it can be and have some understanding with it and some compassion. And like you said, it puts everything into perspective in life. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, life isn't that bad when people are going through things like this. Like, it really just helps to, like, bring you out of a funk at times.
It does. So, okay, I'm going to give you a quick quote from this movie. And this isn't spoiling anything. So this is from his wife, Michelle. "I have never wanted to be a saint. I've never been a saint before, Steve. I'm never going to be a saint. I don't want to be, like, a devil or a dick face. But I don't want to be a saint either. I just want to be a real person." That's sort of her attitude throughout the movie, and I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with this woman. This woman is absolutely incredible. Like, just the stuff she has to do for her husband and for her kid is just amazing. And I can't highlight how good this movie is. And I honestly don't even think I oversold it, sadly. So anyway, again, you're listening to Under the Hoodies. That's Tony DeNicola. I'm Bill Kegel. Find us on Twitter at TonyQs44, at Bill K. Eagle, at Under the Hoodies, and follow us on Facebook on our Under the Hoodies Facebook page. Anything else we need to talk about today?
I have an entertainment view for the weekend. I don't know if you have one as well, but it's up to you if you want me to go first.
You go first, because I think Gleason would be mine right now, but I'll think of another one real quick too.
All right, mine will be a little more lighthearted and fun.
Please, please.
If you've been listening up to this point, it's no secret. I am a wrestling fan. I am a card-carrying WWE Universe member. And this Sunday, live on the WWE Network, special start time, 7 p.m., it is the annual Royal Rumble. For those of you who don't know, this is the Road to WrestleMania Royal Rumble match. 30 competitors in the ring. Two guys start out. About every minute or so, another entrant enters the ring. Be the last man standing. Throw everybody else over the top rope. And the lineup for this year's Royal Rumble. I mean, Bill, you might actually be interested in some of these competitors. A few blasts from the past. But we've got The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, United States Champion, Chris Jericho. A few newer guys you may not know. Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, The New Day, Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Luke Harper. I mean, the lineup is stacked. I am beyond excited for this card. And also, WWE title match, Kevin Owens will defend against Roman Reigns, with Chris Jericho being suspended above the ring in a miniature steel cage.
Oh, he's like a bird.
Yeah, well, you know, basically the storyline is Chris Jericho and Owens are best friends, and Jericho always interferes in Owens' matches, so they're going to put him in a cage to try to cut down on the interference in the match.
Understood. All right, so I think my entertainment pick for this week is definitely watch Gleason. I was going to say Bill Burr, but I don't think that comes out for another like week. So
January 31st.
Yeah, which so
is Tuesday.
Week from tomorrow. Yeah, week from tomorrow. So yes. All right. Yeah,
can't wait for that. By the way,
everybody, that's gonna be awesome. Everybody, watch Gleason. Anything else before we go, Tony?
I'm just wondering who won the bet last week.
Oh, let me do some quick math. Hold on. I think you, I think you took the over. So, so what do we got? 65. Oh boy. 65. Yeah, this is a lot of work for me. So. Do you agree that you took the over? Or do you think you took the under? Because I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure I took the over.
Okay, then I won.
Oh, I thought you wrote it down.
I never said I wrote it down.
You can have it.
Well, no, it's fine. Watch Gleason.
I will.
Okay.
We don't have anything to bet on this week, do we? So we don't have a game.
Yeah, hold
on.
I'm
not betting on the Pro Bowl because who cares?
No, hold on. Let's look at the let's see what some of the events are in the Pro Bowl, actually. Pro Bowl Skills Competition. We'll bet on some of those. We'll bet on three, all right? Pro Bowl Skills Showdown. Okay, here we go. All right.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Wait, when's the NFL Awards come out?
The day before the Super Bowl, usually.
Oh, never mind then. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say we could bet on MVP, but all right.
Yeah, because, all right, Skill Showdown, where are we at? Oh, God, this is so stupid.
God, this sounds terrible already. All right, the fact that you were just like, oh, this is so stupid right from the get-go.
Well, I'm trying to find the skills competition things, but it doesn't. I don't see them anywhere. Hold up.
We could bet on something more personal for us. I mean, oh, yeah. And before we go, too, I wanted to pimp it out a little bit. Billy Boy and a few of my Buffalo buddies will be coming out to Syracuse this Saturday for the SU versus Florida State college hoops game. So I'm very excited for that. And also, before the game, we're going to be outside the dome. You know, a little spoiler alert. We're going to have a sign, probably a megaphone, and we'll have some business cards to hand out. So, you know, if you listen to the show and you happen to be in the Syracuse area and you're at the game, hey, man, come talk to us. Interact with us. Tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you hate. Any suggestions, any feedback. I mean, we're very personable guys. Just come up to us and just chat with us. You know, love to meet some new people and see what they think about the show.
Yeah. All right, so there's precision passing competition, but they don't say who anything's in, so I don't know. Whatever. God, I'm about to just flip a coin. You know what? Let's
check in the NBA slate to see.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now. So, see what's going on here in the old NBAs.
Try to find like the game of the week.
Oh, I know. God, I hate technology sometimes.
We should have better prepared for this.
Oh, I know. This is hot pod. This is really going to get us up to the big listeners.
Oh yeah, this will get us listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Does Cleveland play anyone good? I gotta up my NBA game, man.
We're gonna have to because we're gonna have to come up with content after the show. I don't even know what we're gonna do.
I know the Lakers are terrible. My Knicks are floundering. Golden State's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the basics.
God, no. they don't play anybody really.
Oh God.
The next week they play. They're at New Orleans right now. They're actually losing by 13. They play Sacramento on Wednesday, Brooklyn on Friday, and then OKC on Sunday, which OKC used to be a good game, but nah.
Yeah. Clippers, Golden State, Saturday.
Clippers don't have Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's out for like 6 weeks, isn't he?
Yeah.
Huh.
Do you want to bet that I'll watch two of the four or five things you have assigned me? You want to do that?
What about no, because you control that. How is that fair?
Well, that would actually motivate me to watch them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got a lot of catching up
to I sure do, man. Oh, our favorite sport's coming back, by the way. The challenge. We might be talking about that, too.
Oh, okay. We just found some content for the off season. I mean, yeah, for those of you, man, that don't watch it, the challenge on MTV with – well, there aren't so many road rulers anymore left, but with the real world competitors, it's like Bill Simmons said, it's what, the fourth or fifth professional sport. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah, screw it. You know what? We'll take a week off from the bet. We have enough content for each of us to get through anyway. So
you know what? How about this one? It's on ABC on Sunday. Oklahoma City at Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, we're both going to take Cleveland, though.
I'll take OKC. I trust Russell Westbrook. If you give me some points, I'll take OKC.
All right, let's see what the spread is then, real quick. Hold on.
All right.
How many times do you think I've told you hold on the last handful of?
But before we got on the air, I was cursing you for just continually saying that.
There is no line for it yet, man. It's basketball. They don't do lines past tomorrow. So we'll just...
All right, well, we'll bet that game. We'll figure out the line later in the week, and then we'll talk about who won next week.
You know what? Sixers-Clippers is pretty much even odds. You want to just pick that tomorrow? Sixers-Clippers?
Who would you take? I would take Clippers.
I'm taking the Sixers. All right,
I'll take the Clippers then.
Clippers don't have Chris Paul, remember.
And the Sixers are garbage, so...
Are they? Have you paid
last I knew, have you paid I haven't paid attention to NBA.
Have you paid attention?
You're baiting me.
All right, hold on. We'll go over their records. And mind you, the Clippers play in the West. So I will tell you that the Sixers, I do know, have won 5 of 6. And Joel Embiid is a stud. Did you see Joel Embiid troll Mia Khalifa?
Yeah.
That was hilarious. I love that she referred to it as coming from the girl that's taken miles of D. Miles. I love that unit of measurement. It was hilarious.
She deserved it. She is one of my favorite porn stars, full disclosure, but yeah, she deserved it.
She's talented.
She is. And she receives a lot of death threats for the whole, you know, Muslim porn star thing.
Yeah. She's also a big Florida State fan. So if you're a aspiring athlete and you are,
if you're a recruit
and you really want to play for the Seminoles,
you want a special massage. I mean,
yeah. So, in the last 10 games.
Speaking of recruits, did you see that? It was it last season, the year before, where that kid showed up, the recruit, and I'm not a car guy, but it was a brand new, I want to say, like Corvette or Mustang or something, and it had the full, like, Florida State decals. Like, they did the paint job of Florida State colors and the logo, and it's like, they don't pay these recruits anything.
No, that kid clearly is from an affluent family. Okay, yeah. So the Clippers have won in their last 10 games, they're 7-3. As are the Sixers, they're 7-3. But the Sixers are also 15-27 on the season, and the Clippers are 29-16. So I actually still feel really confident with my bet. As long as Joel Embiid plays, I still think the Sixers win it. So we'll look back.
No, let's do that bet. I'll take the Clippers.
That's what I said. No. We agree.
Yeah, the Clippers are beating Atlanta right now by 7 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, there you go. So
yeah. On the road, by the way.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take the Clips.
All right. Anything else before we go?
No, buddy. I think I'm good.
All right. I am Bill Kegel. That is Tony DiNicola. And Tony, we punch this show in its equilibrium. Number.